is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
State Representative Gary Leaf taking some time to talk with us today. Gary, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Kyle. It's always great to be with you, even during this rather challenging and very difficult legislative session.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Give folks an update on the session and how things are very different this time around.
Wow. You know, this is just pure zaniness up here. I say it's a zoo on its best day. You know, normally, you know, we're all working at the Capitol and we're passing bills around while we're sitting on the House floor, or while we sit in caucus together, we're moving our paperwork around, we're talking about other bills, we're moving to other legislator seats, you know, on the House floor. And what's really funny is now, when you're on the House floor, there's no other seat to sit in. And so meeting legislators is really hard. There's no break rooms. There's no eating lunch together. There's no meetings for breakfast. There's no meetings with constituents. You just asked me a few minutes ago about my office in downtown Roseburg. I'm one of the very few legislators that are lucky enough to have a legislative office where I can meet with my constituents, but we'd be understanding bills better if we had that, you know, those conversations. I'm literally back-to-back in video conferencing like Zoom or Teams. I mean, you're seeing government, in my opinion, at its very worst. To put it mildly, we're not really serving our constituents.
Well, obviously, the pandemic poses some challenges and protocols have been set up. There are elements of this, though, I suspect, that are a little bit easier in some ways, at least logistically, meaning not being in Salem as much, and for some of the lawmakers quite a distance away. That may improve their efficiency, give them some more time versus running back and forth across the state on the road. But that one-on-one contact of being able to look directly at someone, it's hard to replicate in a video conference.
You know, clearly this ongoing pandemic and the social and economic challenges are causing this dilemma that you're talking about. And the governor and leadership have determined that we'll use this very different process of coming to Salem one day a week to drop bills and then going back home and doing everything via video meetings. And, you know, I think that has an effect that on the ability for us to focus. And I got to tell you, normally a lobbyist comes into our office, talks to my chief of staff or one of my other staff. They relay that information, and then I have time to meet with people. And so there, none of that happens right now. So what happens is I'm in back-to-back. I mean, literally, you should see my calendar. It's back-to-back-to-back, starting at 7 in the morning and sometimes ending 7, 8 o'clock at night. And there's no time. A constituent can send me an email, and if I have the ability, I call them back up, and you know I'll talk to them a little bit, or my chief of staff will get their email and we'll converse that way. But I think this online session is just not the same as gathering in the state capitol to debate the bills and do public testimony. It just feels like we have a barrier between the legislators and the citizens, which was not envisioned by, I think, the founders of our country.
Well, the technology issues and all of that aside, when you're looking at the legislative things coming down the pike, what are some of the challenges for Oregon this year in this now almost the 1 year anniversary of the pandemic?
Oh, man. I think it's going to be funding. I think that's probably the number one challenge that we're going to see. This year I'm on full Ways and Means, which is really an honor. But when you're talking about a $30 billion general fund, and we're going to probably reduce it by $8 billion, and the governor's requested a 10% cut to each of the agencies, and those agencies are coming back, you know, like the Employment Division, and they're asking for more money because they have to do a modernization program, which I got to tell you, it's probably the number two problem is unemployment and the debacle, you know, trying to get a hold of the Employment Division and do all their stuff. But they've been really good to me, but it's still a problem that they need to fix. So it all goes back to money. Where are we getting the money from?
Talk about the committees you're on.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's kind of funny. I figure the speaker doesn't either like me or she loves me, because she doubled my committees. I went from three to six. Six committees is just almost, it pushes you to the limit. And like I was telling you, I'm now on full Ways and Means, which is my love. I love doing budgets and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm working on my two Ways and Means subcommittees. I had those during the last two terms. And then, those are transportation and economic development. It's a sub Ways and Means. And they have a $5 billion budget for ODOT. And then you've got housing and liquor and public utilities and lottery funds, and there's a whole bunch of them. And then I'm on public safety, which is another sub Ways and Means, and that's like Oregon State Police training, you know, monies that go to the cities and counties. And then I'm really honored to be the vice chair on the Human Services Committee. That's a huge committee. You know, that does DHS, Children's Services, Foster Kids. That's a big committee, too. And then a brand new committee called General Government. And we're seeing a variety of bills that basically anything that changes legislation would go through this committee and then go out to Ways and Means. A lot of bills. And then Water Committee. I'm still not done, Kyle. This is a really important committee where we're looking at water for cities and counties, agricultural, septic systems. And I was a vice chair on this committee before, but now I've moved up to Ways and Means instead. But the goal of this committee, if you look at California, how they've run out of water, they've literally overdeveloped and they've not gotten ready for this. And so water's huge. And then, like I said, full Ways and Means, which last time I checked, we there's about $80 billion that runs total through the state. Like I said, $30 billion is in general funds. Sorry it took so long, but that's the question.
Well, and I'm curious, too, in the area of human services, you've got a bit of a background being involved with CASA and some other local organizations. You've got a staff person who was very involved overseeing UCAN for a long time. It seems like that's one area where you have particular interest.
So that's funny. So they put me on human services before, I think, at the last term, and so when I was looking and I was afraid Speaker was going to give me these committees, you know, more than what I had before, double, you know, I thought, well, I'll give up human services because, you know, I mean, it just doesn't seem like it was that important to me. And then I got involved in it. Then I started to see, you know, all of the reaching areas, like you said, in CASA and foster kids. And then I started to work with Director Fairbots, who is an amazing director. You know, we have about 7,500 kids in foster care in Oregon. That's a huge number. And he believes that it's way too high. It should be, you know, down to 5,000. And so he has some really good goals for the future. And then I fell in love with the committee. But, you know, part of the committee problem, I think, and part of legislators' problems is, you know, the only time that we get involved with DHS is when we get a constituent who calls up and says, my kids got taken away from me. They shouldn't have gotten taken away. DHS did all the stuff wrong. And so you get on the phone, you go, what the heck's going on with you guys? And then you start to dwell down and then you find out, wow, there's a lot more stuff into this, you know, that meets the eye. You got to get both sides before you make a determination. And then you start to understand that's really hard on the staff people there, too. I mean, they're trying to do their best, and maybe they're screwing up, maybe they're not, but we need to develop as legislators a better relationship, a more trust to say, hey, what's going on with this? Can you help me out with this? I think it's still going to be one of my loves here as far as committees.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Gary Leaf will talk about legislation he's working on and more when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4, and tomorrow we'll have Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association with us. We'll talk about the drought situation. Ironic to be talking about that on a kind of a rainy day, but we'll talk about that, look ahead to spring and even towards fire season with Kyle Reed of DFPA tomorrow. State Representative Gary Leaf on with us now. Of course, part of being a lawmaker is submitting legislation yourself. I'm curious what you've put forth in this session.
Well, I have about 25 bills this session. I've kind of got my legacy bill, I think, this session. This will be my third term, and I'm just really proud of this. So, you know, as I've gone around the state and I've been involved in community colleges and universities and, you know, some of the school districts that are the K-12. And one of the things that I talked about with superintendents and stuff like that was this problem between a high school student trying to move over into a community college and transferring their credits. As a matter of fact, one of my granddaughters took one class at the high school and it didn't amount correctly for credits at the college. So she had to take the exact same college course over again. So dual credits is really tough. It takes kind of an act of God from, you know, the college, community college, and the high school to make these agreements. And, you know, it's rather challenging. And so I created this bill that's a K-14. So instead of K-12, it's a K-14, like a CTE STEAM bill. It's House Bill 2989. And the working title of this bill is a conversion from a K-12 to a K-14 focused on CTE-style programs. So for me, that's voc ed when I was going to school. But this bill establishes a state guideline that the progression from secondary to post-secondary will be seamless, transparent, and easy to navigate. The bill asks for oversight groups to identify and recommend steps to eliminate points of friction between secondary and post-secondary schools. And this is really, it's taken off. I first introduced this with Professor Gray out at Umpqua Community College. He helped me write the bill along with legislative counsel. And then I think the first one to get a hold of me was the superintendent from the Roseburg Schools. We talked a little bit about it in a different discussion, and then that transpired to Umpqua Community College and the president, and then ESD got involved, and then we had kind of a Zoom meeting on that, and then Oregon superintendents, they had a call, a Zoom meeting on Monday, and they asked about the bills. So it's really starting to take off. And again, remember, I talked about, you know, normally we're sitting down at, on the House floor while they're reading bills, and we're going to, bipartisan people and saying, hey, look at my bill. I love this. You know, what do you think? And we don't have that ability right now. So literally, when you see my bill up on OLIS, there's nobody signed on right now because not a whole lot of legislators know about it. But it's kind of going through the education services right now. So that's really good.
What about other legislation you're putting out there?
Oh, my gosh. You mentioned CASA earlier about that. So, and you look at these nonprofits that are basically funded by the community, and Boys and Girls Club, I think you're involved in that, YMCA, all of these organizations, they have fundraisers during the summer, you know, which was, you know, what, 7 months ago? None of those have had fundraisers, none of them, because you can't, we couldn't go out in a setting and, they couldn't do their fundraising. And so CASA is one of those. CASA's, you know, it's kind of funny. CASA is a required bill by the legislature. It's actually a federal program. Douglas County, which is funny, I think we get about $30,000 for CASA, but yet in Douglas County, it costs over $300,000 for that program. So anyways, I've got a CASA funding bill to kind of help them. I have a memorial resolution for Medicaid waiver. This is a big one too. So this is, if you get incarcerated, you get a ticket, you do something bad, and then you get incarcerated. The minute you get incarcerated, and I learned this as a county commissioner, you're off Medicaid, you're off Medicare, you're completely off of it. And the counties have to pay for that. And it's one of the reasons why I think we do catch and release. So that's a great bill. Sewer septic grant program. We've got, I don't remember how many thousands of septic systems that are failing right now, and people just don't have the money to do it. So this is a grant program a loan program where they pay it back. I have a homeless youth funding bill, a housing bill that allows for tiny homes, DHS false reporting bill, an OLCC compensation bill, public ratepayer assistance fund for drinking water, housing authority harassment bill. I can go on and on. Those are kind of some of the highlights.
How do you feel the GOP side of the House is doing? Obviously, you've got Democratic majorities in both chambers and a Democratic governor. How's the GOP working together?
On that, what you're talking about up in the legislature?
Right.
We're doing great. We're working well together. I believe we're all committed to great solutions for problems, you know, just like unemployment, compensation checks. It's a bipartisan issue. As a matter of fact, we've been on several Zoom meetings in bipartisan manners, and we've had the Senate on some of these Zoom calls, and they've said, wow, I wish we worked together as well as you guys are working. So I think that's really great.
I would think there are a lot of areas where it's hard, though, to find some bipartisan cooperation.
No, No, I disagree with you. You know, there's a few things. You know, you're going to have the gun bills. You're going to have, you know, some of the right to life bills. You're not going to get anywhere. But there's such a growing number of bipartisan legislators that we're talking and we're working through the bill drop process. We're having some, like I said, bipartisan work sessions. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I got off the phone with Senator Golden. He's a Democrat. And, you know, he texts me back. He goes, hey, can you tell me about these bills that you're working on? You know, I want to jump on. Where we're learning about a lot of these bills are actually in our committee meetings. And so we've got our computer right next to us where we can actually sign on to these bills as we talk. But it's too early to really tell you all of the bipartisan bills that we work on. But I'm encouraged by the number of elected officials who share the need to really return to, like me, that moderate position.
All right, a busy session, a lot to talk about. We'll check in again soon. State Representative Gary Leaf, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. You have a great day.
1258, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.